Welcome to Victory GP. We're excited you've joined us, and we hope you're impacted and inspired by today's message.
Wow, fire. Everybody say fire. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I loved fire. There's just something about when we were young, you know, we just liked fire. I told you the story a while back about how I lit the neighbor's gas barrels on fire. Yeah, I wanted to just see it burn. And it was quite exciting, amen, after the explosion was over. And but there's just something about fire, amen. And so the week after Pentecost, we need to talk about fire. You know, we need to talk about keeping the fire burning. It's one thing to be burnt and on fire at one point in your life, but it's another thing to keep the fire burning. Amen? And it's so important. So I want to talk about that today. I've known the Lord for 40 years now and plus a little bit. And I've been excited about Jesus, and the fire has been burning for over 40 years without stop. Amen? You know, sometimes we say, well, you know, I think I'm going to backslide. You know, instead of backsliding, front slide. Just fall towards the Lord. Amen? And keep the fires burning. It's so important in this hour that we're living, and especially with some of the challenges that we're facing in this time. And so really a good question here too is that, what do you think about when you think about fire? We all have some kind of reference to fire. You know, maybe it's the Fort McMurray fires, or maybe it's something else, campfires that you have, or maybe a house fire. You know, when we lived on the farm, if a barn burnt down on the farm or anything burnt, all the neighbors would rush there to the fire. It's interesting how people are so attracted to fire. You know, just the other day, I was coming home, and I noticed a fire engine from Wembley, of all places, coming into Grand Prairie. I thought, what's Wembley doing in Grand Prairie? And it turned out they were going to a fire at McGovern's, that their work shed had burnt down there, and it was a horrible thing, but I think there was no lives lost, and the dogs even got out, and everything was fine, but everybody was attracted to that place. In fact, the police had to stop people, including me, as we were going there to see the fire. Fire just has this incredible attraction. You know, it's even with bugs. You can light a fire at night, and bugs are attracted to light and to fire. Amen? And so fire is very important. The Bible says a lot about fire as well. In Exodus 24:17, it says that the sight of the glory of God was like a consuming fire. Like a consuming fire. I think in that illustration this morning with Pastor Jason, when he lit that tea bag holder on fire, what happened to the tea bag? It was consumed. Do you know that the more that you allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to reside in your life, the less that people see of you and the more they see of God? When your fire goes out, guess what they see? They start seeing you again. Great illustration, Pastor Jason. Thank you. You preached my message. Amen. And so that consuming fire in our lives, it consumes the things in our lives that need to be consumed. In fact, our flesh is consumed so that Jesus, by the power of his Spirit, can be shown to the world. Amen? Less of me. John the Baptist said, as I decrease, as I disappear, he increases. But as I increase, he decreases. Amen? And so it's so important as believers and followers of Christ that we stay consumed with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then Deuteronomy 9:3, it says, therefore understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes before you as a consuming fire. And we know in the Exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt, when they came from Egypt, there was a fire by night that went before them, and then a cloud by day that covered them from the horrible heat in that desert. The warmth at night by the fire and the cloud by day. Amen? That God took care of his people. And that's the way that God takes care of us. Regardless of the season that you're in your life, whether it's hot or whether it's dark at night and cold, God will always have a provision for you in your life. Even as we've gone through this corona time, God has a provision for each and every one of us. He has fire and he has clouds. He has whatever it's going to take to get you through to the other side. Do you believe that? It's so important that you do. You know, as we are worshiping here today, I kept getting this thought that faith is now. You know, so much preaching is about the future. But what about having faith right now for God to do something right now? Today, in this room, in this service, online, a fresh fire that'll fall on you today. Amen? Instead of just believing one day it will, why can't it happen right now, today? Amen? 1 week after Pentecost, God is still moving. We need to keep the fire burning. Hebrews 1:7, he makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Don't you like fiery ministers? Fiery preachers? Fiery women of God that can preach like Pastor Charlotte? Amen? Set the house on fire! Amen? I don't know about you, but I don't like sitting under dead preaching where there's no fire. Amen? We have a saying in this church that if you don't leave a service without being sad, mad, or glad, you haven't received nothing. Amen? The Word of God should make you either sad about something that you're doing that you shouldn't be, it should make you glad that God is so good to you, or it should make you mad because something that God wants you to do, you haven't done yet. Get angry about the things that God gets angry about, and get excited about the things that God's excited about. Amen? We saw these race riots and things that have been going on this last week all over the place. You know, there's a time when you need to get mad. And when there's injustice, and when people are being taken advantage of, you need to get angry. Thank God for the people who get angry about abortion. Thank God that people get angry about the sex trade. Praise God that people get angry about things that we should be angry about. Sometimes we think that Christians are just nice people all the time. Amen? Being nice is over. God wants us to be effective, whatever that looks like. We're not just nice Christians. I don't want to go to a church filled with just nice Christians. I want to go to a church that's filled with people that are on fire, which people that are making a difference doing something. Amen? God wants us to be flames of fire for him in this hour as never before. Matthew 3:11 says this, I, John the Baptist, indeed baptized you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. You know, we talk a lot about water baptism in the church. We talk even about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But often we don't include the fire part of it. Amen? There's fire involved here. Wow. Acts 2:1, it says, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. I actually was in that place in Israel, in the upper room. Amen, it's an awesome place. And they were up there, and the whole place was filled where they were sitting, and there were appeared on them separate divided tongues of fire. Wow. Tongues of fire. Reinhard Bonnke used to say, you need your fire from God. Right? Each one of us need our fire. It's interesting that the fire wasn't just one big fire. It was individual fires. In other words, God wants each and every one of us individually to carry the flame. To carry the flame wherever we go. Amen. And so it appeared as tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them. This was a supernatural fire. It burnt, but it didn't consume them. It was like the bush of Moses. And God wants that fire to burn on the top of us. Amen. In our lives. And it's an individual baptism of fire for each and every one of us. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Can you imagine that? As the Spirit gave them the ability or gave them utterance. Amen. If you're a believer and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and you don't speak in tongues, I challenge you today on this seventh day of June 2020, be filled with the Holy Spirit. speak in tongues and move in the power of God. Amen. It's what are we waiting for? Pentecost happened over 2,000 years ago. What are we waiting for? You know, I think one of the greatest mistakes that we've made with Pentecost is that we've made it a denomination. Pentecost is not a denomination. Pentecost is an experience with the Holy Spirit that every believer in Jesus Christ should have. Amen? With the evidence of speaking in tongues, with signs and wonders and miracles. Catholics, Lutherans, Episcopalians, regardless of what tag you have on you. Pentecost is for every believer. The Church of Jesus Christ did not get launched until they were endued with power from on high. And neither should we. Amen? The church should go nowhere without the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 25:1, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps or their fire and went out to meet the bridegroom. I love that illustration. They went to meet the bridegroom with their fire lit. You know, it's interesting, and I haven't really studied this out, but I've heard recently that the fire that was in the temple, when Solomon built that temple, the fire that was in there, in the holiest of holies, was not lit by man. It was lit by God. But you know who God made to be the steward of the fire? It was the priests. Us. We're the priests. We're responsible for keeping the flame going. Not God. Many of us are waiting for God to do something in our lives, and God is waiting for us to do something. Anything. Amen? If you want to go to places you've never gone before, you've got to do things you've never done before. You know, I was challenged, and I have been challenged the last few years, that I really wanted to do something really significant in my latter years. And so I was talking about going back to Tanzania to climb Mount Kilimanjaro a few years ago. And it just never happened. But I was encouraged the other day to relaunch and rethink about going and climbing that mountain. And when I ever think about mountains, I think about Caleb. You know, Caleb said, "Give me that mountain." And he got it. Amen. So on Friday, I actually paid my down payment to go and climb Kilimanjaro. Amen. Woo-hoo-hoo! 20,000 feet in the air. The tallest freestanding mountain in all of Africa. I want to change. And you know what? It's not just getting to the top of the mountain. It's the challenge of being ready to go there. And that's what I'm looking forward for more than a lot. At my 65th birthday, I want to stand on the top of Kilimanjaro. Stand on the top of Africa. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me ask you this. What are you doing? What are you doing? What challenges do you have in your life right now that force you to depend upon the power of God and the Holy Spirit and the fire of God in your life? Of course, while we're in Africa, we're going to preach the gospel as well. We've got some great things planned. In fact, we're going to gather all the former Victory Bible College students in Kenya. And from all over Africa, they're going to come together. And I believe the Holy Ghost fire is going to fall afresh on every one of those students. In Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're excited. And Pastor Paul is getting ready to go to climb Kilimanjaro. Amen. So fire is very important in the workings of God. The church started with fire in Acts 2:3, and it's going to end with fire. Revelation 1:14, it says that Jesus' eyes were like flames of fire. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. Jesus' eyes were like flames of fire. Jesus was passionate. He was burning. Amen? And that's the way that he wants us to be in our lives. You know, the time that we've just gone through could really be a dial down time for many people. And we've all been challenged. I've talked to a lot of people. They've said, my motivation is gone. I've even struggled with my own motivation of keeping the fire burning, regardless of what's going on in our lives. Amen? is so important. And maybe some of you out there right now, you've struggled with your motivation during this time of lockup. But I'm telling you, you can burn right where you are if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to burn in you. Amen? That's so important. So everything God touches in some way has an element of fire on it. You know, I use honey in my tea and I drink a bit of tea. And so when I get honey on my fingers, guess where it all ends up? All over the house. Guess who lets me know it is? My precious wife, Janice. She goes to the fridge, there's honey on the knob. She goes to the closet, there's honey on the knob. She goes to get out of the house, there's honey on the knob. Everything you touch has got honey on it. It's like getting oil on your hands. Have you ever got oil on your hands? Yeah, and then after you've got oil on your hands, go around the house and see all the places where there's oil. Well, that's the way this fire is. When you've got fire on you, guess what happens? It gets absolutely everywhere. Amen? And the more that you beat on fire and try to put it out, the more it spreads. And so regardless of what the world tries to do to us as believers, it can beat on us, it can do whatever they want on us. But every time they do, it just spreads more. You know, one of the strongest churches in the world is a church that's underground. It's the Church of China. God bless the believers in China. One of the strongest churches in the world. Over 100 million believers in China that are serving, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire in an underground church that's illegal in China. Amen? And why are they so much on fire? It's because there's a force there that wants to kill it. Do you know, if you don't have a challenge or something that's pushing against you, your muscles will die. Muscles are formed and strength is formed through pressure, through opposition. The rivers of a bank are a blessing to the river because the banks and the obstructions, the limitations, form the power of the river. The minute you remove the banks, it becomes a swamp. So don't cry about the limitations in your lives. Don't cry about the things that are oppressing you. Thank God for them. Because they're forcing you to even be more powerful than you were before. Amen? Nobody does anything great in a time of comfort. Nobody does. It's in the times of challenge that the fire means the most. And we're in that time right now. Amen? This is the time to burn. If we've ever going to burn, let's burn now for Jesus. Amen? Could I have an amen on that? Amen? Hallelujah. So fire speaks of power. It speaks of consuming. And everything that God touches, somehow the fire gets on it. You know, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit way back in 1981, I believe, it was from a precious man. He's a great big tall guy. He was a pig farmer from Ontario, of all places. And he was speaking at the Full Gospel Businessmen's in Brooks, Alberta, Canada, 1981, in the Heritage Motel, where I used to disco. And I had the disco shoes and everything. Oh, I tell you what, they were high. They had red, like satin on the inside of them. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I got saved in the same hotel that I used to disco in. And I remember discoing, you know, even in Hawaii one time in these great big fancy disco places in Hawaii, you know. Anyway, John Travolta's a good friend of mine. And why did I say all that? But everything that God touches turns to fire. But there I was in the Heritage Motel in 1981, and this precious man of God, at the end of the meeting, at this, he said, you know, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit yet, I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to be filled tonight. I thought, wow, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this great big, tall, big farmer from Ontario, he was probably this tall. Linda, why don't you come and stand over here? And I felt like Linda right now. Yeah, that's how I felt. He was tall. Man, he could just walk around those pigs, amen? And he just, I was just standing there. I had my hands up, and I just touched, he touched me on the head, and everything went wonky. And all I could remember was I was falling backwards. And next thing I remembered, I was laying on the floor with my arms straight up. And then the next thing I remember is I was speaking in this language I'd never spoken before. Amen? I was speaking. It was just coming out of my mouth like a river. Jesus said in John 7, he said that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. God doesn't want just a trickle coming out of our life. He wants rivers coming out of our life that are going to change the world. Amen? So each and every one of us are rivers for God. And you know, I want to just say this to you. We don't always feel this way. We don't, including moi. But I am not what I feel. I'm what I believe and act upon. I'll tell you what, when I get up in the morning and I don't feel anything, and I begin to pray in the Spirit and begin to pray the Lord's Prayer and walk through it with Him, before you know it, I'm feeling this fire. I'm feeling something burning on the inside of me again. We are the keepers of our flame. I'm going to say that again. We are the keepers of our flame. He gave us the original, but we're the keepers of it. And so if you're feeling depleted, if you're feeling like somebody's put your fire out, God is waiting for you to do something to light it again. Some of you need to come to Mexico. Do something you've never done before. Do something that's going to force that fire out. Amen? Climb a mountain. Do something that will transform your life. You know, we all know that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. It's like the guy that was hitting his head on the wall and he wanted the pain to stop. Amen? And you know, as Christians, we get caught in that sometime. We just live in that circle of defeat. And somewhere we got to break out of it and do something we've never done before that will help us. I remember Rob Morin, God bless you, Rob, in Kelowna, and Sherry, from this church. And Rob came to Mexico with us a couple years ago. And he'd only been there, I think, 2 days. And he got a prophecy. Somebody prophesied over him and read his mail. It transformed his life. Do you know what's interesting? When we break out of the circles that we're in a little bit and venture out a little bit, it's amazing what God's got waiting for you out there. If you just live in the safe place, you probably won't find the faith place. Amen? Break out of the circles of your life that are mundane, that keep you in that mundane, non-empowered place. And let God change your life. And again, I personally believe that missions is one of the best ways of doing that. Or serving. Serving in the church. Serving in your community. Amen? Doing those things that stir you up and just cause you to tremble on the inside. Amen? You know, how many can get up on a stage like this on a Sunday morning and speak to the world, basically? If you ever told me I was going to do that when I was a teenage, snotty-nosed kid, I would have said, you're crazy. You know, it's interesting. I watched the story of Garth Brooks, and I'm not a Garth Brooks fan. But wow. Just a guy from Oklahoma. Guy from Oklahoma that liked to sing. And he broke all the records in the world for crowds. Amen? Unbelievable. Lays down his gift of singing for 14 years so he could take care of his 3 girls that he'd neglected. Laid down his whole gift. Laid it all down for 14 years. And then when his girls grew up, his wife suggested, why don't you do it again? He did it again and blew all the records again. You know what that showed me? It showed me that God can cause your dream, your fire to burn again. Your fire is not out. It's just very low. If you're born again, you have a fire on the inside of you. The born again experience with the Holy Spirit is for salvation. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for service. You can't serve to the level and degree that you need to if you're only born again. It's when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit for service for the kingdom that your life comes alive like never before. In Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 25:1, it says, the kingdom of heaven Actually, it's not. Fire speaks of power, and it also speaks of cleansing and purifying. We know that. Purification. And so I want to share with you today about the fire that each one of us has as we're born again, spirit-filled believers and followers of Christ, that's on the inside of us, and how we need to keep the fire burning. Keep it burning on a daily basis in our walk with God. You know, as I was sitting there again this morning, I was thinking in a very practical way. I've got a burning barrel in my backyard. I'd bought one of these years ago. I think it was at Totem in those days. It's Rona now. But I bought this nice, big, high burning barrel. It's about that high. And it's quite big, so you can get a lot of wood in it. And then it's got a chimney on it. And we had it over at our South Patterson house. And when we moved from that house to our new house, I never took the burner with me. I often went over to the neighbors or our old house. I'd walk down the back alley and look over the fence again and see if he still had my burner. And he didn't take care of it. You know what it did? It just rusted out. I felt like getting over that fence and just stealing my burner again. So you know what? I everywhere I went, I looked for burners. I'd bought other smaller burners, just stupid burners. There's hardly get any wood and couldn't get a big fire going. And so I had these smaller burners, but was never happy with them. And then one day I was riding my bike down a back alley by my house, and there was a burner just like mine. Well, you know what I did? I went to the door and I said, "I want to buy your burner." It did have some rust on it. And she said, "What are you going to give me for it?" I said, "I'll give you $50 for it." I would have given her $100. I wanted that burner. She said, "Get it out of here. Give her the $50." Man, I was out of there with that burner. Had to get a truck first, but I love my burner. It's not just a little crappy little fire, little flicker down there. It's this massive thing just about burns my house down when I light it up. I love my burner. Now, why did I share all that? You got to keep the fire burning, but in a very practical way. How do you keep fires burning? I lit a fire the other day and the wood was wet. What a smoky, horrible fire. Jan's shutting all the windows on the house saying, and getting, house was filled with smoke. I love fires. But you know what? Just in a practical way, how do you keep a fire burning? Man, you got to stir that thing up once in a while. So I'd go over there with my little poker, and I'd poke those logs around, and poosh, and it would get going again. Amen. I try to keep anything off of it, any water, moisture, anything. You know, you've got to tend fires to really make them work well. You really do. And we sometimes expect the fire of God to just burn brightly in us all the time with no maintenance. That's not how a fire works. A fire will always eventually burn itself out if you don't feed it. Do you know the Word of God is like every log that you place on the fire? The reason why some of our fires are out is because we haven't replaced the wood yet. Or we've isolated ourselves away from the rest of the fire. And our fire burnt out, but the other one's still burning. We need to stay connected with other people who are on fire. Get around people that are more fiery than you are. Amen? Get around them. Call them for lunch. Do something with them. But get around other people that are burning for Jesus, if you aren't. You know, many times we're intimidated by people who are burning. But instead of being intimidated, we should be provoked, because we should say, "I don't care what I have to do to get my fire burning again. I'm going to pay any cost. I'm going to go to Mexico with Pastor Paul. I'm going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Whatever it is, I'm going to serve in the church, but my fire is not going to go out." Amen. If you get tenacious, if you get determined, if you set your heart for your fire to burn, it will. In Matthew, it says that he that hungers and thirsts will be filled. Amen. God's fire is attracted to people who are hungry and thirsty for more. Are you satisfied with what you have? I'm sure not. You know, we launched the V&A ministry here a few years ago. And now we're just in a process through this quiet time. It's really slowed church planting down. Couldn't travel, couldn't do a lot of things. But I tell you what, it's firing up again. Amen. And thank you to all of those who are supporting VNA and helping us to take the message of the gospel, not only to the nation in the north, but to the nations of the world. Amen. I've got people phoning me and wanting to support us. I had 2 calls just in the last couple days. Isn't that neat? Because it's good soil. God is doing good things through Victory North Association. God is on fire in that ministry. Amen. And so we're looking forward to some great things ahead. So we really got to keep the fire burning. You know, if all you ever do is hang around wet blankets, you're not going to have a very good fire. You know, it's one thing to minister to people who are wet blankets, but don't live around them all the time. Now, if you're married to them, you're in trouble. You're going to have to somehow figure that one out. Amen? Right? But you need to encourage your spouse to be a flame of fire like you are. Amen? And people around you and friends, you might have to let go of some friends and some people that you spend a lot of time with that are going nowhere. They still might make it to heaven, but they're not going anywhere. They're not passionate about anything. They're satisfied with what they have, but you're not. And you spend all your time with people like that, you'll end up being like them. You become who you hang with. Birds of a feather flock together. Amen. And so that's really important. In ancient Greek, this is important. You know, it was interesting. In marathons, a torch was handed to each runner at the starting line of the race. This is the real deal, and they still do this, actually. They take the torch from where the Olympics were the former 4 years before, and they actually run that torch and take that torch all the way to the new venue for the next Olympics. And the flame never goes out. It's a great illustration. And to win the race or the marathon, each runner had to cross the finish line with their fire still burning. Ouch. The torch race was a different one that led them through mountains and valleys and across open fields. There were good things and bad things that happened in that race. And doubtless there were times when others would pass by another runner when their strength was failing, when they had lost their way and needed to get back on track, or they stumbled and they had to get back up again. What mattered most in this race was not the style or the finesse. You know, we've got great style here at the church, but God forbid if our fire goes out. You can have all the finesse, all the smoke and mirrors you want in the world, but is the fire really burning? And I think this time, this reset of the church has really helped each and every one of us to really determine if our fire is actually burning or not. Because, you know, you can maintain something in your life just by manipulating it or being a part of something that seems to be going somewhere. But is it really going somewhere? You know, a ship in the ocean without its engine on, it's moving, but it's moving towards the rocks. And just because you have a little motivation in your life, is the fire still burning? It's so important. And so I believe it's just been an awesome time. I thank God for this reset time. And even for this church, as we begin to gather again, and even right across our region, as the churches start gathering again, God forbid that we only come back to expect what it used to be. God forbid that we're just looking for what it was, and we're not expecting something greater. Amen? Thank God that the church got out and was the church, like the book of Acts, going from house to house, sharing their food, sharing bread together, breaking bread and having communion, winning their neighbors to the Lord. That's really a truer picture of the church than just a building that's filled with people. You know, Jesus, interesting, left 99 righteous sheep to go out and find one that wasn't. And God forbid the church that ever loses its passion for the lost and gets satisfied with having nice services. Amen. And I believe that this church is moving in a great direction. Amen. And so the fire's burning. This can also be a picture of us, each one of us. Is the fire burning when we get to the end? Is our torch burning? That's important, guys. It really is. I don't know about you, but just going through the motions as a Christian stinks. It's foul. Just existing and not flourishing. Why have we become comfortable with existing? Of just going through the motions from week to week, and yet we're not flourishing. It's almost like we've sold ourselves out to a lie, thinking that there's nothing better. My sister has a saying, this is as good as it gets. I don't like that saying. This isn't as good as it gets. It's getting better. I won't settle for as good as it gets. It's getting better. In Jesus' name. Amen. It could be your marriage. Are you settling for less in your marriage? Are you settling for less in your finances? Are you settling for less in your vocation, your profession? Amen. God does not set the limits on our lives. We do. We set the limit. We set the bar. And God wants us to set a high bar. Amen. He wants us to set a high bar. So this can also be a picture of each one of us. And we're all running the race. 2 Corinthians 9:24. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? And I like what somebody said here with what's happening in these race problems that are happening right now. There's only one race, and that's the human race. And I might just remind everybody today, there's not a white Holy Spirit or a black Holy Spirit. There is a Holy Spirit, period. Amen. There's not a children Holy Spirit and an adult Holy Spirit. There is one Holy Spirit, and He unites us all together. In the book of Acts chapter 10, where Cornelius and his family were all filled with the Holy Spirit, they were Italians, not even Jews. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and that was proof to the Jews that God was no respecter of persons. Amen? And neither should we be in these times that we're in. So we support each other regardless of our color of our skin. Our blood is still all red. We all bleed the same. Amen? And we love our brothers and sisters from the Philippines, from Africa, from India, from all over the world. What an incredible world we live in. Wouldn't that be boring if we were all just like Derek Casey? I just caught you out of the corner of my eye, Derek. But you know what? If we were all just like one person, even as funny as Derek tries to be, thousands of comedians out of work and he's trying to be funny. Now, Derek, hang on to him. Hang on to him. Yeah, no, he's good. He knows I love him. He knows I love him. They're just an awesome family. Give the Caseys a big clap this morning. They are awesome. Love you guys. Love you guys. Amen. So the real question here is the flame still burning on the inside, on the torch of our heart, or are we just going through the motions with no fire? You know, I don't know about you, but I've been there at times. I'm going through the motions, but the fire's out. You can tell when a Christian's fire is out. And as there's no condemnation to any one of us in this room that are in Christ Jesus, but if your fire is out, do something about it. This is the week after Pentecost. God forbid that only 1 week after the Pentecost that our fire is already out. Amen. And you know the truth. The enemy, the devil, will try to do everything to put your fire out. Amen. He'll even use family members if he has to, if there's some that are yielded to him. In fact, many times, sometimes your family members can be the ones that will be the wet blankets, that will throw it over you. Who do you think you are? My brothers told me early on in my salvation, he said, oh, what you got is going to be gone. And he says, I'll give you a couple years and it'll all be gone. So I went back to him in 2 years. I said, brother, my fire is still lit. Amen. I still love Jesus. Amen. It's true. And I've buried two of my brothers, my son-in-law, my mom and dad. The fire's still burning. The very ones that told me it would go out. Amen. Luke 12:48, unto whomsoever much is given, much is required. Each one of us has been given much by the Lord. And the question is today, what are we doing with it? If we're neglecting what God has given us, you know, it's interesting, in the book of Revelations, Jesus threatened the churches and says, if you will not listen to me, I'll remove your what? Yeah, your lampstick. The fire. Would God do that? Remove his fire from the church that was neglecting it? He said he would. And I don't want to go into all the theology of that, but all seven churches, he'll remove your fire. Can you imagine being a church and the fire of God being out and nobody notices? No, it's interesting that Samson was going to get up and do one of his great mighty acts, and he didn't realize that his hair was cut and his anointing had been removed. His fire was gone, and he got up and was going to do just what he had done before, but he had no strength. It was all gone. God forbid that the church ever be like Samson, that we get up and think that we're going to do something and we never realize that the fire was gone for a long time already. Amen. Let the fire burn, Lord, in the church today. Let it burn. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 2. This is very powerful. And I was very convicted by this verse a few years back. And just what God was saying at the time to me personally, and maybe you have had this experience as well. But Hebrews chapter 2, it says this in verse 1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Lest we drift away. Isn't that interesting that we can drift from where we are and not even realize it? Verse 2, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard it? And verse 4, and God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. That's what the church should look like. Not a church that has neglected the fire. And all of the gifts and healings and everything ceased, but we didn't notice or even care. We need to see more miracles. We need to see the Cindys not dying of cancer after they've been healed. Amen. Charlotte's father dying after he was healed. Why? I'm asking the Lord. Not angrily, but I want to know. What are we missing, Lord? Let's not accept that as the norm. Let's not accept Cindy's death as the norm. We might not have an answer for it right now, but why do we seek the answer? Amen. The time is coming when people will come to the church in masses, because healings and miracles and signs and wonders will be happening every week. We won't even have much of the preaching. The preaching will be the moving and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Amen. People being shadowed or healed from your shadow. Claws being laid on demon-possessed people and demons coming out of them. That's the church that I believe that Jesus is returning for in this last day. Not a church lukewarm, but a church on fire, burning with the fire of the Holy Ghost in this hour. So when we talk about Pentecost and the outpouring of the Spirit, it's much more than just having goosebumps on your arms from the feeling of the presence of God. That's not enough. God wants us to burn. He wants us to burn with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this hour and in this day. So like the marathon runner, you and I are called to run our best race and break the tape at the end with the fire of the Holy Ghost in our heart still burning. Amen. Would you agree with me today? And we'll close with that. Online, would you agree with me today that you will not be satisfied with just surviving in this day that we're living. Not just talk about Pentecost. Not even just have a service about Pentecost. Not just even to know that Acts 2, 1 and 4 talks about the Pentecost and the outpouring of the Spirit, but actually to personally experience it on a daily basis. That you will take responsibility as a believer in Jesus Christ to steward the fire of God that's in you. To not allow people around you to put your fire out. It doesn't mean you can't love them, but you might not be able to spend the same kind of time with them as you used to. That you'll get around other people that are hot for God and hot for Jesus, that are moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, and allow that fire to reinflame your fire. Amen? It's so important in the hour that we're living. A powerless church, it's questionable if it's really actually a church of Jesus Christ. Because the church of Jesus Christ, in the book of Acts, was not a powerless church. And I believe in this hour, God is bringing his church back to what it was in the book of Acts. You watch. Jesus even added to a church like that 3,000 people in one day, and another time 5,000. There won't be buildings, and I've said this for years, big enough in Grand Prairie to contain the harvest and the church that is coming. And that's why it's so important that we all walk and move together from house to house and home to home. That we're connected with one another, whether we have a building or whether we don't have a building. The church is alive and well, as it is in China, underground. No buildings, just people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. There's records in one city alone in China that 10 dead people were raised from the dead. We need to see some resurrections here in Grand Prairie and in other communities around Canada and see the power of God resurrecting people from the dead. Smith Wigglesworth, they say in his lifetime he raised 17 people from the dead. I want to be a part of a church that believes the power of God. Not sometime in the future, but right now. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith. I want my faith to work now. And I challenge you today to desire the same in your life. Let's just pray as we close this service today. I trust that you've been stirred this morning. And again, there's no condemnation to any one of us, but there is a provoking to greater love and good works. And I, like you, have at times allowed my flame to flicker. And God wants each one of our flames to burn brightly, as it did on the day of Pentecost. And so in the name of Jesus right now, I thank you, Father, that you are the God who watches over your word to perform it. That, Father, on this week after Pentecost Sunday, that we are challenged to not only today, but all year long, to steward the flame of God in our lives, to stir it up, to feed it the word of God, to pray in tongues and to pray in the Spirit, to believe you for miracles every day, to witness and share the love of Christ with others around us, to be a part of the body of Christ that's alive and living in this hour, in Jesus' precious name. I just ask that you put your hand on your heart today and say this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I realize today that my fire isn't burning as brightly as it could. I ask that you forgive me for any part that I've played in that, or if I've neglected the fire in my heart, if I've grieved you, Holy Spirit, or quenched you with my attitudes or actions. I ask that you forgive me today. And I ask that the flame that you would reignite as I stir up the gift of God that is within me right now. I thank you, Father, for igniting a fire in me that's unquenchable, all-consuming. That, Lord, you wouldn't see me, but, Lord, that the people would see the fire. That the tea bag would be consumed. My flesh would be consumed. But my spirit would be alive. In Jesus' name, in this hour. Father, I just pray a release of the Holy Spirit right now over the watching thousands online today and in Grand Prairie, in this church body, in the name of Jesus. Let the fire burn in us. Fire, fire, fire. Fire fall on me. As the day of Pentecost, let fire fall on me, Lord. Lord, I can't be satisfied with a flicker. I must have the fire. I must have the fire in this hour to live for you, Lord. Every day of my life as a burning flame for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Victory Church Grand Prairie. You can stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by using @VictoryChurchGP. If you have any questions, would like to access our online resources, or would like to sow into this ministry, you can visit us at www.victorygp.com. You can also text to give. Just text 587-207-4387 and follow the prompting. Thanks again for joining us at Victory GP. Reach, teach, mobilize.